Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I have audio for you in a moment from an NBC affiliate news report in Indianapolis regarding a protest that was outside of the State House when the Republicans there passed an abortion regulation law. And there were about 1,500 pro-aborts out in a frenzy, because they rabidly want to kill, dismember their unborn children. But there were also Christians there who were speaking out against the same bill. Now, how could that possibly happen? Why would pro-lifers be against a bill that child killers oppose? Well, it turns out that the Republican governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, passed a law that has to do with the law. When you read the law, it has something to do with fetal genetic abnormalities, okay? Handicapped children, you find out they're handicapped in the womb. And so I actually don't want to describe the law yet, because I'd like you to hear this news report. First, we'll hear just the first sentence or so at the opening of this broadcast. This is Channel 13, WTHR. The NBC affiliate in Indianapolis, Indiana. We will hear the open, and then we'll fast forward about a minute into this new segment. So first, the open.
Well, it was a big afternoon at the Indiana State House, with protesters on both sides of the abortion issue clashing over Indiana's new abortion restrictions.
Okay, now we're going to go about a minute and a half into this segment, because first, they're talking to Planned Parenthood representatives. The ACLU is suing the state of Indiana over this. And the pro-aborts that are out there truly rabid in their determination to continue to kill unborn children, to dismember unborn children. If there were a fetal pig and an abortionist ripped a limb off of a fetal pig, say for what he might call medical research, there would be outrage among the liberals. There'd even be outrage among the conservatives. But every day, Planned Parenthood dismembers, they literally dismember unborn children, tearing the arms and legs off of children in the womb, and the liberals celebrate it, and the Republicans mostly do nothing except for this example of what they've done here in Indiana. They are regulating child killing. So now let's hear from one of the Christian protesters there, Rudy Guerrero.
Compared to the pro-choice supporters, pro-life advocates only numbered in the dozens. Some of them also expressed their displeasure with the law, for entirely different reasons, though.
This will not save one baby. All you have to do is say, no, I'm not killing this baby because he's black, or because she's a girl, or because she has Down syndrome. I'm killing the baby because of other reasons, and then you can kill the baby.
All right, so what I'd like to do is go now to that man, the man behind the voice, Rudy Guerrero. Rudy, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor, as always.
Well, I am thrilled to have you there, Rudy. And I'm so thankful that this newscast audience, and it wasn't just this news report. I mean, there was a story in the Washington Times. This was on the Fox station, the Indianapolis Star, the South Bend Tribune, and it went from there. I want to thank you for being a voice of morality and sanity there at the State House. Could you explain more of what you said to this news reporter?
Yeah, absolutely. They were, first of all, a little shocked and taken back when we told them that we disagree with this bill as well, HB House Bill 1337. And so they were immediately very curious. And by the way, of the, say, 10 to 15 members that we had there for that day, everyone was interviewed multiple times and heard the same message from us. There were a few more Christian pro-lifers there that were not a part of our group, maybe two. But they heard a consistent message over and over through us.
From your entire group, which is Intercessors for Life. And Rudy, what was fun is that there might have been 1,500 pro-aborts there, but 15 versus 1,500 just isn't fair.
It's not fair because we were still much more powerful than they were.
Right. They would need another 1,500 to flood out your voice. So thankfully, you guys were there. And then you also spoke to tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people through the media. But let's discuss this aspect of the law, because the Associated Press, they wrote about this bill that it is the most restrictive in the U.S., or it's among the most restrictive abortion laws in the United States. And you made a point to this news audience that we've been making for many years at American Right to Life, that these regulations, they backfire and they end up killing more children, not fewer, and they're immoral. But what was the exact argument you made to explain why this is not going to save children?
I said, quite frankly, here's what the law says. The law prohibits a woman from aborting her baby, and I'm going to quote the direct law, solely because of the race, color, national origin, ancestry, or sex of the fetus, or that the baby's been diagnosed with Down syndrome or another disability. So as I told numerous dozens of people at that three-hour rally, and not one of them answered in the affirmative, that do you honestly think that this will stop one abortion? Because all a woman has to do is check a box that says, no, I'm not killing this baby solely because of race, color, national origin,
of course, right?
Sex of the fetus, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Rudy, the absurdity of regulating the dismemberment of children, the absurdity of regulating murder, it would be like regulating kidnapping or regulating rape. It's immoral. It's wicked. It's foolish. But then when they do it, you could almost always see how it will be ineffective and it will backfire. Almost always you can see that right up front, as you've just explained.
Correct. We used numerous examples. We used the examples that you have on your website using Al-Qaeda, substituting Al-Qaeda absurdities into the equation. Mm. We used examples such as, do you think if there was a gun bill that said, when you purchase a gun, you have to check a box that says, I promise I won't murder someone. Mm. Do you think you'll stop one sale of a gun to a bad person?
Right, of course.
And of course, no, it's absurd.
Right. Yeah, we have these ISIS memes at AmericanRightToLife.org/ISIS, and people could see the absurdity. Like this week in Colorado at the State House, they're introducing a waiting period, a 24-hour waiting period. You got to wait 24 hours before you can kill the baby. And so, Lord willing, I'll be testifying at that hearing against that bill. But it would be like in one of our memes is urging ISIS to wait 24 hours before beheading someone. I mean, it's the insanity of where we are at, when even the Christians, many of them, even the pro-lifers, they can't understand how immoral and repulsive it is to regulate the killing of the innocent.
Yeah, we've used the example with people before saying, what if your daughter were kidnapped and there was a law that said you have to first text message the parents 24 hours before you rape the daughter? If that were a law written, would that comfort or would that save one lady from rape? Would that comfort one family from their daughter being brutalized?
Oh,
of course not.
Right.
It would worsen it.
And these laws typically worsen things. It would be like all the fetal pain bills. It'd be like urging ISIS to anesthetize someone before a beheading. you know, what they want to do is they want women to give their informed consent so they understand exactly what they're doing in an abortion. And that actually makes things worse. It actually makes things worse.
It does. There's even a note, Bob, and I know that you hate the term informed consent, and I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
In the first few sentences of this bill, it talks about how physicians are required to provide information about perinatal hospice care to the pregnant woman and to document informed consent. So two very egregiously evil things that we're asking them to give consent on murdering a baby. And also, oh, by the way, you realize that you can take care of your baby in a hospice center, but you still can go ahead and murder the baby.
You could go ahead and kill the baby. Right. And
yeah.
Then, Rudy, to add absurdity on top of absurdity, the bill itself, so it says you can't kill the baby if the only reason is because the baby's handicapped or the baby has Down syndrome or the baby or the race of the baby or it's a girl and you want a boy. So you can't kill the baby if that's the only reason. And even with that, then there's an exception anyway. They have an exception in the bill where you can do those things under certain circumstances. And absurdity on top of absurdity on top of absurdity. Of course, the woman going for the abortion is not going to say, well, I'm doing it only for this reason. And even if she did, we have this on tape 1,000 times over without exaggerating from Planned Parenthood and other abortion mills all over the country. When the woman says something that would be illegal, then Planned Parenthood tells her, don't say that, hang up, call us back and say it right.
Correct.
And we've been doing this for 30 years. We've been doing this. So this is yet another lost opportunity. More years, more hundreds of thousands of dollars raised for pro-life organizations, pro-life leaders, to pass a law that won't save a single child. Like Dr. James Dobson, he wrote this after our full-page ad that we published in the Colorado Springs Gazette. And then it was published in the Washington Times and in newspapers around the country, an open letter to Dr. Dobson about how the partial birth abortion ban, which he promoted for 15 years, and they raised literally over $100 million from that one fundraiser. He finally wrote the truth that ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life. Unquote. Because the abortionist will just kill the baby in a different manner. Or here in Indiana, the woman will just give another reason or just keep her mouth shut for getting her child dismembered.
Correct. Or all she has to say is, well, I'm killing the baby both because the baby is black, the baby is female, and I don't want to have to, stop clubbing in the night.
Oh,
okay?
Right. Right.
Then you can kill the baby. So we have further solidified abortion. And this is what we're screaming at the top of our lungs to our pro-life Christian comrades in Indiana who will listen to us, is that regulation abortion bills only solidify the culture of death into our country. It only solidifies it.
Rudy, the Washington Times article that I read about this protest and the counter-protest, it quoted an abortion opponent, Brooke Guerrero.
That's my wife. She's a wonderful opponent of pro-death.
Well, you must be proud of her. She criticized the governor by name, Mike Pence's law. It allows for the killing of children. And then she said, it is a big crowd here today. I'm not surprised. There are a lot of women who want to continue to have the right to kill unborn children. That's what we're here to stand up against.
Amen.
So I appreciate your wife being there. On that newscast, there was a male protester, and he used the term that has become trendy among child killers today, and it's bodily autonomy. And so they say you have bodily autonomy. In fact, someone from Texas sent an email question to American Right to Life just today. And it was a fictitious story about a judge in Texas ordered him to give blood for 20 years of his life. He had to give blood every day to keep someone else alive. And it was fabricated. And so we immediately knew that he was, you know, playing with the bodily autonomy argument of the child killers. And on American Right to Life's website, at their talking points page, it asked the question, what about bodily autonomy? And I'd love to read the answer to you. It's brief.
I'd love to hear it.
It says this: you lose bodily autonomy when you become a parent. And a man and woman become parents when the woman conceives. As a parent, for your child to survive both in and out of the womb, he will require your physical body. He or she will also require your emotions and finances. Again, both in and out of the womb, for survival and well-being. Killing your child at any time is wrong. Any parent who does not want this responsibility might find another person to transfer the responsibility to, but they are not free to kill their child. It's so simple. It's a child.
Yeah, it does. And of course, what we would say, and I know what you've said probably dozens of times over, is does not the little baby girl in the womb, what about her bodily autonomy?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And when they make this argument, and it goes back to the weirdest argument that was made popular by a pro-abort named Boone. If I recall, he's a professor, Boone, up in Boulder at the University of Colorado, CU. But his argument was this, that a violinist had someone surgically attached to her body, and that if they unattached this person, the stranger, if they unattached the stranger, then the stranger would die. So is the violinist required morally to live her life with the stranger surgically attached to her body, like hooked up to her circulatory system, for example? And so that you've heard that argument, right?
Well, you know, that's so funny you mentioned that, Bob, because that was the only of the 3 hours of discussion, that was the only argument that I had not heard. I had not heard it referenced to the violin argument. And at the very end of the protest, I spoke with about 10-15 minutes with a gentleman who was the sixth. He was the sixth respectful pro-abort that I talked with for over the 3 hours.
Wow.
I counted.
Wow.
Yeah, only six, because usually you're cussed out. They scream vulgarities that you can't repeat to your children. But he mentioned the violin theory, and he asked me, he said, Rudy, does a baby, he said fetus, and I said, well, that means little one. Okay, does the fetus have the right to kill the mother as it grows within her? And I said, a human baby has a right to live. And so he then introduced this violin question and told me that I should research this.
Yeah. Right.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah. It turns out that there was a paper titled A Defense of Abortion by Judith Thompson. And she originated this argument back in 1971. And so they think that this is a brilliant insight, you know, and because a violinist, her rights would be violated if someone surgically attached another person to her, therefore we could dismember our innocent children. And so, you know, about that argument, if there is no God that holds parents responsible for loving their children, then their argument would be fine. If there is no God who obligates parents to love their children, then their argument is fine. And if we're just animals, I mean, animals will eat their own young. Animals, fish, land animals, They'll eat their own young. And so if we're just animals, if there's no God, then their argument is fine. You could kill really anybody you want. It doesn't matter if they're attached to your body.
Yeah, that's so absurd. And no matter how much of a convoluted argument someone has to come up with to defend murdering a child, there's no reason or there's no logic to that. That's about as logical as saying 300 years ago, what if a Martian came down from space and painted a white person black? Would they be three-fifths of a person?
Yeah.
I mean, it's absurd, Bob.
Right, right. Yeah, it is absurd. And but the lengths that people will go to justify their wickedness, and then they celebrate it. They march down Main Street. As with sexual immorality today, I mean, was it just this week that Disney, it sickens me even to think of what Disney did this week with their, they have a TV news program that I'd never heard of until this week. It's been on the air for years. And they take characters out of their fairy tales. So I don't know if you've heard of this series. It's called Once Upon a Time. And in the Once Upon a Time, it's not animated. It's a, I guess it's a primetime ABC weekly TV show. And the characters in it are Snow White, Cinderella, Peter Pan, Sleeping Beauty, you know, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Frozen, the characters from all these Disney films. And they now introduce this week a lesbian relationship. And of course, this is geared toward children. And so they're taking the Disney vault characters, you know, the characters that have been worth hundreds of millions of dollars to them. And they're using those characters to promote to children perversion, to promote homosexuality to kids. That's Disney. And that's just happening right now. So they know their wickedness knows no bounds.
It doesn't. And you know that is consistent with everything that we experienced, the vulgar things, as you've mentioned, the inclusive, the kind-hearted, the don't judge liberal crowd are the most vicious crew of people.
Yeah.
We at one point I was surrounded by probably 10 to 15 angry, screaming liberal pro-abort women who were screaming at the top of their lungs, elbowing me, pushing me. If it wasn't for another friend who was nearby, who knows, I would have been trapped for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I just kept preaching to them while they were screaming at me.
Yeah.
But one woman, probably a 53, 55-year-old, 5'2" lady who would just blend into a normal crowd, grabbed my megaphone, ripped it out of my hands, and broke it. The homosexuals were coming out and being vulgar. So it's what you would expect at a pro-death rally.
Yeah, it is. And so, Rudy, this is, I know you have had this ministry for years, as we have here in Denver, Colorado, and as Christians have all over the country. But this is just another encounter with the beautiful people. Tolerance, free speech, diversity, respect all views, respect all people. This, it goes right to the core. They want to kill children. You know, we used to say about people that he'd kill a puppy, you know, to show how evil somebody is. He'd kill a puppy or he'd kill a child. Today, they celebrate that they kill children. They celebrate it. And we
do.
Yeah, go ahead, Rudy. Sorry.
No, no. At one point, I know Rich said this, Rich Holst, a member of our group, he joined along with the chants saying, "Fire Mike Pence, fire Mike Pence." Numerous people from our group had done that. But you get the oddest looks by the pro-aborts. And, of course, that creates conversation with us telling them, yeah, we don't want someone who's writing pro-death bills. Just for different reasons than what you do.
Yeah. So, Rudy, an article that I think you referenced already at American Right to Life's website, It's on abortion regulations. In fact, you could get to it, AmericanRTL.org/regulations. And it gives a list of all the ways that child-killing regulations backfire. And one way is they make abortion seem more acceptable to the public and to politicians. And on the surface, these regulations, they undermine the very concept of the right to life, because here's all the people who supposedly know right from wrong, and they pass this law that says, well, you can't kill your baby if you're saying it's only because the father is black. Then you can't kill the baby. But otherwise, you could kill the baby, and you could even and then they have these exceptions. And they call this the most restrictive abortion law in the country, and it probably won't stop a single child from being killed. Like James.
No, it won't. We said this over and over, as you have said this for years and years. Not one single solitary baby will ever go into an abortion clinic in the state of Indiana and will not be aborted because of this law.
Right.
Not one.
Right. And so they rob the opportunity, the time, which is so precious, our time, and then our money, our finances, to actually fight child killing. And then the things we teach the public, the things we teach, they're robbing all of that. Economists call it the opportunity cost. The opportunity cost is eternal. That's what it is.
All I was going to say is this is why we were so thankful that Channel 13 WTHR at least gave the sound bites that we were against the law, because so often the newscasts simply say the most restrictive abortion bill passed in the United States.
Right.
And then they go on.
Exactly. So thank you for being a voice, Rudy, a voice for the Lord, for sanity, for morality. We so appreciate you guys. Intercessors for Life. Real quick, is there a good website people could go to follow what's happening?
Oh, we used to have one, Bob, and then it went away. I apologize. We'll work on that.
Well, no, let me say something else then. Rudy, what we're going to do at our website, kgov.com, is we're going to put links to these news reports and the media reports, and they're so encouraging for me to read. I'm sure they'll be for others. God bless you, Rudy Guerrero.
Bless you, Bob. Thank you, brother.
You're very welcome. That was an honor to have Rudy on the show. These regulations, they prune the abortion weed and they strengthen its root. They prune the abortion weed and they strengthen its root. Our website, kgov.com, and can't wait, June 3rd, big night. Be there. God bless.
This will not save one baby. All you have to do is say, no, I'm not killing this baby because he's black or because she's a girl or because she has Down syndrome. I'm killing the baby because of other reasons. And then you can kill the baby.